All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Pull this over into it.
Yeah, that works. We good to go?
Yep. Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. And today we have one of our sponsors on, Bob Griswold with Ready Made Preparedness. Before we bring Bob on, I just want to go ahead and get some of the advertisements out of the way. You can go to mountainstatesurvival.com. That's mountain-state-survival.com for any of your preparatory needs. The times are drawing nearer and nearer for us not to be able to have these things on the shelf. So give Jeff a call or go to his website and go ahead and start your preparedness now for your kits and for the average day-by-day things that you need. If you need any type of precious metals, stevequayle.com, you can go to his precious metals link that's on his website. We have a failing economy, and whenever power starts going out throughout the country, you're not going to be able to gather anything from the ATMs or the banks. So go ahead and have precious metals on hand. They always keep their value, even whenever our currency loses it. And finally, we have Bob Griswold. Now, if you need preparations, if you need to be talked through on how to go from A to Z of being prepared, or if you need to learn radios, if you need night vision, if you need ballistic helmets, Bob Griswold is one of the experts out there that you need to have that conversation with. Give Bob's website a call. He has a plethora of information, and he has decades of tactical information that is there for the average day-by-day prepper that we really don't talk about enough, Bob. And I'm going to go ahead and bring you on. But, Bob, we really don't talk enough about being tactfully prepared. As preppers, we do say, hey, you need your guns, and you need your gadgets, and you need your your body armor and your food. But there's a tactical preparedness mindset that we don't talk about it. We don't approach it. You can't tell people, go and do X, Y, and Z gun drill or start doing so many push-ups a day and expect them to get out and do it. They have to do it on their own. But at least we can give them manuals, we can give them transcripts, we can give them head knowledge that if it's retained within that brain housing group, that maybe they can use it at the worst case scenario. And I know you have a lot of material for us today. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna give Bob the mic, and we're gonna hear from him his thoughts of the day.
You know, it's an excellent point you brought up. You know, I always think of a biblical story of Abraham and Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot was kidnapped one time, and his whole family was kidnapped. Abraham and Lot were living separately, different places of the Middle East at that time, but Abraham heard it, okay? And Abraham decided, this is not going to happen under my watch. This is my family. And so, you know, when we see a situation like that requires action, the first and foremost thing that Abraham had, that we have to have, you as a soldier had to have, is you had to have the courage of conviction. Abraham had that courage of conviction that you can't buy this. You this is something that's developed inside through faith and hardship and you know, things that we endure in life. We have that conviction that says, I'm not going to let this stand. My nephew is not going to be kidnapped by these hoodlums. I'm going to go take him back. Without that mindset, Doug, nothing happens. I don't care how many pair of night vision you have. I don't care what you own. It's the 6 inches of the battlefield right here that are the most important. And when God or faith infuses you with his boldness, that's the first thing you need. The second thing you need, and this is why the powers that be are so adamant against destroying manhood. You need men and warriors. They were going into the enemy's camp. Abraham was, I mean, these weren't a bunch of little Bible thumping little guys. I mean, they believed in God, but I mean, they were men of valor. They took the initiative. They weren't cowards. You know, what we need today more than anything is men who just open their mouth and speak against the falsehood we see everywhere. But men are cowards. They've been taught, you know, to be shamed by their maleness, by their manhood. And that's not what we need right now. We need men and women who are men and women of valor who will stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let my family rot somewhere. I'm not going to let the enemy take that which is mine and keep it. I'm going to go take it back from them.
Amen.
And then the third thing we need, so it's a trinity, a threefold braid. Imagine this. Abraham, he had to go somewhere to rescue his nephew. So he needed, they needed water, they needed food, they needed swords, they needed spears, all the contemporary accoutrements of war of that day. He had to have it with him. Now, I'm not advocating war in the physical, but, you know, we're spiritual warriors, we're mental warriors. We stand up for the truth. And unless you have those things, I'm just telling you, you will not stand this day. You've been in situations where courage is required. I traveled the globe a lot. And I'll tell you what, 90% of the time I was scared out of my mind. It's just because you're in hellaciously dangerous situations, but I'm going to do it anyhow. It's the right thing to do. I'm going to do it. And when you do that, man, the powers that be are afraid of that. That's why they want to destroy us so much, because they're afraid of men and women of valor, men and women who are trained in the art of war. And that's spiritual war as much as any other kind, you know, defending your family. But that moral courage, as you said, first and foremost, if you don't have that, you got to get it, because if without that, you're not going to go anywhere. We see these reprobates today just doing everything to destroy our civilization, and the majority of Americans are just absolutely quiet on it. They don't say anything. They're afraid. They're afraid I'll lose my job. Somebody will say something bad against me. We need courage today. And so, I mean, as I just go through the news daily, put it this way, I'm an intelligence gatherer. I'm not going to say any more than that. And in learning to interpret intelligence is critically important. You know, this is an example. I can see, if I go to, say, I went down to the park and I saw two guys beating the daylights out of each other on the ground, dust flying and fists swirling and all that. That's raw intelligence. I understand that there's a fight going on. Do I know why? No. I mean, is it a love triangle that went bad? Is it a drug deal that went bad? Is it, you know, just somebody cut somebody off in traffic and they flipped them a bird and they, you know, they didn't like that, so they stopped and started beating each other up? Unless you correctly understand the nature of the conflict you see in front of you, why it's happening and how it's happening and for what purpose, you'll never come to the solutions you need to put your family in a situation that you're going to be protected, or put it this way, chance will be on your side. You know, faith, whatever, will be on your side. Because today we see the absolute destruction of everything we've held precious in this nation. Everything this nation has stood for centuries, is being destroyed right before our eyes. And the Christian church, most people today, just absolutely go home and just turn the TV on and drown it out. Well, you know, my wife and I got rid of our TV a long time ago because I just don't want that pollution in my home. But, you know, just some quick notes. If you don't think you're at war right now, I'm going to tell you what they've said to you. This is not my words, Doug. This is their words, what they intend to do for you. They're going to infect you. They're going to restrict you. I mean, they said more infectious diseases are coming. Ebola-like smallpox, possibly. We're going to restrict you. Your access to have mobility is gone. And they're doing this multifaceted. They take away the gasoline and make no more. They don't care anything about saving the planet. Restricting gasoline, restricting electricity is all about freedom. If I have gasoline, I can travel. If I have electricity, it allows me to have freedom of free time. I'm not having to, you know, without electricity, I mean, there's no refrigeration, all that. So all these things that they want to take away from us are restricting us. They admitted they want to steal from us. They steal from us all the time. I mean, look, $30 trillion they've stolen in debt. They put us in debt. And one day they're going to come and knock on our door and say, you know, you owe that money. So they've stolen from us. They say they're going to turn our power off. I just read that by Klaus Schwab. He's salivating to get the power turned off so they can implement the Great Reset. So that's four things. They want to starve you. They're admitting this. This is something that they are admitting, that they plan on starving you to death. They want to poison you. And which they are, with all the concoctions and drugs that are on the market, stuff that's toxic. You're being poisoned, medical tyranny, They're selling you. If you go to any kind of medical industry, your DNA, all that stuff is up for sale. They'll kill you. They'll steal your land. This is what they admit they're doing, Doug. I mean, am I wrong? Have I missed something? Am I misinterpreting it? So that's raw data right there. That's raw data. Okay, so now this is not hard to figure out. I mean, when you have that many data points, it paints a pretty good picture. But even with just a couple of those, you're going to look at it and say, why? Why are you doing this? I mean, why are we leaving the border open? That doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does make total sense. If you're an enemy of the United States, it makes total sense. Well, why would they close a pipeline down so that we'd have to start importing our gas again? That doesn't make any sense. It makes absolute sense if you're looking at it from their point of view. So this is what we're dealing with. This is the fight that we're put in. And I tell you, if I hear one more patriot say, you know, bring on the Civil War, you have no idea what you're talking about, first of all.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Nobody wants war. If I hear people talking like that, you're insane. If you want death and bloodshed, you're insane. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. had it, I think, the correct way. I'm just not going to obey him. I mean, that's my choice. I'm not going to pull out a gun and shoot you. I'm just going to say no. I'm not going to obey you. And that's when we have to have the mindset. But that takes moral courage to be there today. Most people won't do that. They've been trained in the art of cowardice.
And it takes strong leaders. You know, the moral courage is there to defeat the cowardice that has spread like the worst infection of all amongst men in America. People are afraid to speak out. People are afraid. They were afraid to talk about COVID-19 because, oh, well, YouTube will cancel me or, you know, I'll get this little minuscule fine or people won't like it. Well, who cares? For one thing, as an American, speak out. It's your right while you still have it. Two, people don't want to see you have to be capitulate to another person or this shadow entity because they say, hey, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, screw you. This is America. We talk like we like how we want. We conquered the frontier. We're the baddest nation in the world. We as Americans have had the right through the blood of patriots to do this in our country. But this is once again, you talk about drawing the line. Me and Dave Hodges talked about this yesterday. Americans will willfully allow abortion, so child murder. They'll allow Jesus to be condemned within our own halls of justice. They'll allow our children to be turned into violent radicals who are communists. They'll try to destroy the economy. They'll pollute our food. They'll pollute our water. They'll make sure that you get taxed to high heaven. Every 3 months, a car costs $2,000 extra to buy. But we won't speak out about any of that. The COVID-19 vaccine, we'll kind of speak out about it. But what we will not allow as Americans is you to take our guns. For whatever reason, we drew the line with that you shall not take our guns, right? Now, it is correct that because of the Second Amendment, we still have this country. Because of the Second Amendment, we have all of our other rights. But if we are too afraid to use the First Amendment to speak out, the Second Amendment will slip through our feeble hands because you speak out in the court. You speak out in the town square. You peacefully protest until the point the government can't shut you up anymore and they have to address your grievances. But we've been trained not to speak out.
The truckers in Canada aren't toting AR-15s.
No.
They're toting, you know, 50-ton tractor trailers, and they're blocking the traffic. I mean, Dave Hodges had it perfect. Instead of driving when they do the caravan to from California to Washington, can you imagine if they did the caravan and blocked off the Super Bowl?
I would love it.
I mean, they're within their right. We just want to drive around the country, and 10,000 trucks congest. I don't know where they're having it, but wherever they're having it, congested. I mean, it's to say we're not going this anymore. But see, that takes courage. I mean, these people. I got this off the. I don't know if we're. I guess we're not on video, but I got this off the World Economic Forum today. And I'm just reading it. They are no longer hiding what they have planned for us. I had this article off the Expose. Hidden Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine trial data suggests all pregnant women miscarried. And what they're saying in this article is all the test subjects that were pregnant when they were doing the vaccine miscarried. You talk about murdering people. They knew that. Pfizer was just fined $2 billion for hiding truth about an antibiotic. They put it on the market, and people, I mean, it killed people because they hid the data. But we'll trust you now. I mean, you know, and it's all about depopulation. We know that. Any way to kill children, kill people, because it goes back to our spiritual nature of the conflict we're in. There are forces of good, spiritual forces of good, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, all this. These are forces of good that fill us and make us desire and seek the truth. But conversely, there are people that are absolutely evil out there that have been filled with this spiritual force of evil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, and their goal is the destruction of humanity. You go all the way to the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, Prince, you know, I want to come back as a virus to kill humanity. That's the mentality of these people. They have a death cult. You look anywhere, a Democrat takes over. Murder rate goes up. The city dies. The economy dies. Everything dies. It's a death cult that they're around. They seek death. They don't want to fix it. They want to make it worse because they know that in the end is what gives them what they want. They destroy the system. They bring it down. And that's what this great reset is about. You know, they're going to destroy the system because, Dave, when your circuit breaker pops in your house, you got to push it over and push it back, and then you've reset everything. If my computer hoses up, I push the off button and start it again. I reset the computer. This is what's being done to you right now. The chains of your enslavement are being forged one at a time, and while you're looking at the chains being forged around your hand, well, at least they're not connected. I can still move my arms. The chains are there. But there comes a day when the final link is put in, when your hands are no longer mobile, your feet are no longer mobile, and I use that as a typology. You know, your gas is taken away from you, your transportation, your communication is all taken away from you, and you have nothing. And you know what? Yep. You're going to love your enslavement. That's what they're telling you.
Yep, you'll only be allowed to work in the metaverse.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and now, I mean, there's that one lady. Can you imagine? The metaverse is I mean, this is demon possession on an industrial level. I mean, that one lady who created an avatar, you read the story, she wasn't in the metaverse for 30 minutes and she was gang raped. Her avatar was gang raped. I mean, I have a friend who's with Florida Department of Law Enforcement, longtime law enforcement friend, very good friend of mine. And I asked him today, we were talking, I said, so if I go in the metaverse and create 20 children and rape and murder them and drink their blood, is there a crime committed? Is there? I mean, a moral crime for sure, but a crime that they can punish you for? No, you're going to have this. This is the final stage of humanity. People going into this metaverse. If you think the addictions that you can go online today and face are bad, wait till you get people going into this holodeck type reality. It's going to be.
Absolutely. And that's where I can see, like, you know, putting myself into this mental image of being in the metaverse, which something, ladies and gentlemen, I would never do. And I strongly suggest you do not do that at all.
For sure.
I don't play video games. We don't have a cable TV. We at my house, we buy DVDs, and that's, you know, mainly cartoon stuff for the kids to watch, even though that's getting bad. But could you imagine going into the metaverse and just walking around and then you see this giant pyramid with the hands of Baal and people, you know, read about in the Old Testament, they were having sexual orgies in front of the altar, the priests were, and then they were sacrificing men and women. And then eventually it got so bad, they started sacrificing children. And with the hands of Baal, what it was a bronze brazier, and they would burn the children alive, their own children, and they would have a sexual orgy in front of this demonic god, and they called that good. They said, this is what we need for our economy to thrive, for us to be protected. We are not far away, Bob, from doing stuff like that virtually. It will transcend itself to physical reality. I know there's a lot of speculations of people out there who say, when does the end times come and when does America fall? I have a speculation that I've said for years. When does America fall? When they make pedophilia legal and then you start seeing human sacrifice.
Well, you know, they don't with the metaverse, you can be Ted Bundy. I want to be Ted Bundy. I go into the metaverse and just start killing people. I mean, say, that'll never happen. You can buy the most graphic video games today. I mean, I remember when Grand Theft Auto came out. There was one part in there, because I was where the church at that time, and these kids were showing me what they were playing. I went, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. They would go pick up a hooker and then rape her and then murder her in the game Grand Theft Auto. So that'll never happen in the metaverse. Come on, let's get real here. It's going to absolutely happen. The most darkest, and when people put it this way, Doug, when people go in there and experience that darkness that they're going to experience, they'll never be able to come out. You know, Rome, when people went into the Colosseum one time and watched those gladiatorial games, they were hooked. They had to keep going back. It produced such a deviant sexual nature, a thrill, that they just got hooked to it. The metaverse is going to be the Roman Colosseum on steroids. And so we're seeing the absolute destruction and enslavement of humanity as Satan desires. We're seeing the Georgia Guidestones come to pass, where they want to reduce humanity to 500 million. All this stuff that used to be way out there that people, you know, Steve Quayle, when he first started talking, they was way out there and people made fun of him. Now we see it coming to fruition. What is it, Reverend Manning? What was his name? The chickens have come home to roost. Well, this time they really have. They're coming home to roost. We've sown this evil, and now we're reaping the fruit of it. And so, as a solution-based person, I tell you, you've got to take the bull by the horns right now, because your window of preparation is closing so fast. I don't think you know how quick it is. As soon as they switch, and they're switching to a digital currency, your ability to prepare, your privacy, everything, it's all gone. You will never have even a lick of privacy anymore, because once they go to digital currency, well, Doug, you've bought your pound of flour for the month. Yep. And you only have a social credit score of one. Now, if you up your social credit score by being a good, you know, statist and serve the beast, you can get up to three. And if you get to three, you'll get a little bit more wheat. You'll get a little bit more better housing. You'll get this. It's all going to be designed to coerce you into this satanic system of just absolute debauchery. So now's the time.
There's an example I want to give. It's a little bit of a historical example. When Mao started the CCP, there was a woman who escaped China. And I believe she found her way to America. I haven't seen the video in a very, very long time, but there's an interview of her, and she's it's called the Cat Story, and she talks about her experience in a small village. Their village was tasked with growing rice for the party. So they would grow, you know, tons and tons of rice, and then the military would come and pick up the rice, and then would take it away, and then a couple of days later would come back with, you know, maybe a couple hundred pounds of rice for the village, and then you got distributed out your share fare of rice for that month, right? So during the CCP, people were so scared of the party finding out that you were eating more than your ration, because they were murdering people, I mean, by the hundreds of thousands at that point. This lady was caught by her lifelong best friend, who was right across the hut from her, because, you know, little straw huts and stuff that they live in. And she said, oh, my God, are you feeding your cat your rice? And she said, well, yes, it's my cat and it's my rice. She says, her neighbor says, well, you know, you can't do that. So the cat lady says, it's my rice. It's my damn cat. I can feed it if I want. Well, her neighbor says, well, the party says that rice is only for you, and now you're wasting the party's rice, so I'm going to have to tell them. And the cat lady goes, no, you don't have to tell anybody. Why? It's my rice. It's my cat. I can feed it if I want. She said, well, you've already been doing this, and I saw you do it. Now, if I don't report you, someone else is going to see that I confronted you, and then they're going to come and disappear me in the middle of the night. So this is what ended up happening. She reported the cat lady. The cat lady packed up her stuff, and I assume her cat, and left. A few days later, and her family is in this village, by the way. A few days later, everyone in the village was killed. So, ergo, when we talk about communism, there is a mindset there of slavery. It's a truly a demonic form.
They hate freedom.
Yeah, it cannot allow the breath of freedom to be out there. And these people, like Klaus Schwab, I'm reading the article right now, Bob. Klaus Schwab is salivating over a power grid collapse to trigger the Great Reset martial law takeover. Now, that's from InfoWars. And by the way, I'm one of those people who I don't quote CNN or Fox News. I quote InfoWars. So, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. But it is true what comes out here, because you're not going to see this on very many other places. Bob, let me ask you a question. Me and you are both preppers. Me and you have been in some very dangerous countries. We have trigger time and real world experience, you know, doing various similar things. And I would like to ask you, if the power grid goes out nationwide, how long does everybody have before the chaos starts?
Oh gosh, you know, put it this way. I'm gonna preface that. There's a lot of things. So many things you just stated I want to address. First of all, communism. The Black Book of Communism. The greatest quote in that book is: "Godless states have one thing in common: a lot of body bags." History proves that. You cannot get away with that. And I'm telling you, when this breaks down in the Soviet Union, when the Soviet Union first came into existence, do you know what they said was Soviet state property and that you had no right to it? Women. They could actually just abduct a woman off the street and rape her. And that was Soviet state property. You didn't even own your own body. Well, that's what they're telling us today through the vax. Yeah. You don't own your body.
Joseph Stalin said, "No man, no problem."
Yeah. So, I mean, women today, you don't know, you don't have a clue, because if you don't think that's the case, I mean, when Caligula, and I always say Caligula would love to be alive in the United States today, but Caligula, they'd have a party. He would see your wife there. I mean, he'd take back in the thing, and then they, you know, he'd start bragging in front of the whole party, whether your wife was good or not. I mean, this is where we're headed. And you don't think this is absolutely the case of where we're headed. You know, I talk to Sawman a lot, Craig Sawyer, Veterans for Child Rescue, and it's just insane the level of abuse of children in this country today. They're used as things and then thrown away. You know, I'm a book collector. I have books all the way back to 12th century. But there's one book I just picked up, and it was let me get to the title of it here. It's an interesting title, and please forgive it, because I would make it inclusive of everybody today. The Great War on White Slavery: Fighting for the Protection of Our People. And there's a subcaption there. Let me get it. It says, you know, this is 1911. This book was written, and again, it's written in the Times. They addressed it for white people, but it's everybody's life is just as valuable. It says, "Danger, mothers beware. 60,000 innocent girls wanted to take the place of the 60,000 that will die this year." 1911. Now, you think of what it's like today. Millions of children disappear today. Every year, millions disappear. These people, if you do not think that any evil thought that they can conjure up or that Satan can put in their mind, they're going to do it. They're absolutely going to do it. You know, I had a friend, put it that way. He's a federal law enforcement friend. He asked me one day, you know, the internet, there's the number one thing people do on the internet is porn. And then the number one thing they watch in movies generally is violence. So he asked me, he goes, "You have a society that just saturates itself with porn all day long. And it's not just the porn I grew up with. We look at a Playboy magazine. It was, you know, a lady upper chest. That's all they showed. Today, it's the most, as I think James Yeager puts it, midget donkey porn. You know, it's gross, perverse pornography. And so you have people filling their brains with this. They are filling their brains with the John Wick, kill everything, blood sputtering everywhere. Doug, what do you think those people are going to do when the electricity does go off? Do you think they're going to take up knitting?
No. It's not just that. And, you know, my years of working in law enforcement, and also, I think probably, even though I spent 10 years in federal law enforcement, even though I spent the last four of that on a specialized team, and we dealt, you know, primarily with Antifa for 4 years, probably the most important experience I had was when I worked for the Bureau of Prisons, the Federal Bureau of Prisons at FCC Beaumont. And I got to experience every single type of murderer, rapist, gang, you name it, cartel members. We had mafia members. We had, I think at one point, one of the 9/11 bombers, one of the guys who was a conspirator for it. You know, white supremacists, black supremacists, Hispanic supremacists. We had Chinese hackers. We had all different types of people in there. And the one most common theme that was throughout that entire prison was psychiatric medication. And I sit there and I go, if they force these people out and they don't have access to that medication, and, you know, probably fairly good dosage, by the way.
Yeah.
If they don't have that, whenever the power goes out, their brain then starts to exasperate and exaggerate motives, intents, and emotions, which always comes out to physical damage upon another person or an object. So that will either be violence for theft, violence for violence's sake, or violence sexually, right? Now, you have millions of people in America on psychiatric drugs, and you have millions more people in America who are severe alcoholics.
That's a drug.
Right. What happens whenever they don't have it anymore? Now, I occasionally drink my strong beer. I have one or two. I'm not much of a drinker. I drink coffee all day long. That's my only problem. But, you know, I smoke my pipe occasionally. I have a can of Copenhagen here and there, but I can drop it at any moment. It's the people who are dependent, Bob, mentally dependent. Those are the violent ones that act out. You and I have seen that before in other countries. People who don't have access to that medication.
Well, so sometimes they don't even need the medication. They like that lifestyle. People don't understand, and I've seen it, you've seen it. Violence is an addictive substance. People get addicted to violence. Once they start it, they like it. That's why the Colosseum was so popular. They got addicted to the violence of the Colosseum. We get addicted to the violence we see on TV. You know, we want to watch MMA, and I don't have a problem with anything, but it's a violent nature society. And I have to ask, why did God destroy the old world with a flood? It says because the earth was filled with violence. And that doesn't mean just people beating each other up. It means violence against women, violence against children, violence against the laws of nature. I mean, everything was violated. And we look today, everything is being violated. I mean, science says what science says, and you can make up whatever you want. I'm a tree gender or whatever. It doesn't make it true. But it's a delusional. These people absolutely believe that they are sexually related to a tree. Or, you know, a cow or whatever. And
we've read that before. We've read the articles where people say, I remember reading an article of a very famous designer. I can't remember the guy's name, but he dressed as a transsexual golden dragon. And he's in this parade and he's telling people to worship him as a golden dragon. I hate to say it. It was on Alex Jones and he went off on it. But these people are out there. And, you know, here, let's cross this Rubicon. People who are on any type of psychiatric medicine, along with chemistry for changing the natural form that God had made you, being in the military, and then going through that psychiatric meltdown while in war with Russia, what happens then?
Well, we get our butts kicked. That's all it is, because the people aren't emotionally capable. War is horrible. It's horrible. Good men come back from war scarred. No matter whatever your mental state is, it's an activity we engage in that's detrimental to everybody involved with it. But you add on top of that mental instability, and oh my gosh, you take it to a new level, because these people, they're seeing this violence, they're seeing it, and they won't have the mechanism to control the impulses. You can give somebody enough Valium to control the impulse. You know, if you drug them enough, they can't do anything. But you then take these same people who have these uncontrollable urges towards violence, sexual violence, physical violence, violence, whatever, and they don't have the mechanism anymore to control that behavior. And that's why, I mean, why do you think you see these liberal states letting criminals go, hardcore criminals? And then, wow, he was out of prison for 20 minutes and he went and raped and murdered three mothers. Why? I mean, they know why. Why do you think Cuomo wanted to murder 20,000 old people? Because he knew they cost money. And we get them off the Medicare rolls. That's how sick these people are. They care nothing about those 20,000 lives, the families, anything they murdered. We just got to send them in and we'll put them in other infected people with them and they'll all die. That's what they did. So, Doug, as we look at the psychosis that these people are deluded by, we have to realize one day, as you said, we'll deal with them. One in five Americans is chemically altered in their brain. That's the statistic. Alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, they're chemically altered. So you're walking by, every fifth person you're walking by, that guy's brain or lady's brain is not firing in all eight cylinders. The drugs have done something to the brain where it's not firing correctly, and you don't know what their thought processes are. They're hearing God, you know, God told me to skin you alive. Yep. He told me that. Now, as decent Christian men, we know the sanctity of life. We don't believe that, but this person's, their brain's not working correctly, and they're hearing these voices. Yeah, God told me to skin you alive.
Yeah. I think one of the things that really snapped me out of a lot of my haze was the book One Second After.
Yes.
And, oh, my God, what a read. And, you know, it's one of those books that right there in the very beginning, you know, whenever the main character, John, loses his daughter, and she was diabetic, 12 years old, just had her birthday party. 4 months later, she's dead after the power's out. And this is something we don't think about in America.
It's not just long, Doug.
A
few days. We've instilled this philosophy of anarchy into our society. We've instilled this absolute uncontrolled, unbridled lust into our society. Women are objects. You know, that's what they are, objects. We've taken away the property rights, the rights of your property. Property rights are sacred. The Bible teaches that. You don't move your neighbor's property line. They're sacred. So we have destroyed all these restrictions, these limits God put on humanity for our benefit. The laws are for our benefit, not our cursing. It's like, you know, killjoy God. He's put those laws and stuff there to keep us because he knows what happens if we're unrestrained. And we're going to see this in this nation, and I think worse than probably most nations have ever seen it. An unrestrained, just catastrophic cacophony of violence unleashed on this country. I mean, today we're seeing it just in the cities. You can't go to a lot of cities today because you'll get murdered, raped, beaten, whatever. So we're seeing this spirit of violence just work itself out. Women are no longer safe. I'll make a prediction. Women's lib, women, you want to go outside in 10 years from now? Yeah, try it. You won't be able to. It'd be like the Middle East. You won't, unless you have male companionship with you, you won't be able to go out. Because there'll be so many deviants out there just waiting to exercise their depravity on you. You're going to need protection. And I know that's probably politically incorrect to talk about men protecting women today, but that's the reality of what it will be.
No, and it's the reality everywhere. Even whenever we're talking about, you know, mixed martial arts, there's a guy who transitioned, and I'll use big air quotes on that one. And whenever he got into his, you know, 140-pound fight weight against some of these women, what did he do? He beat 33 women almost to death. You know, I mean, put almost every single one of them in the hospital.
That's not just a desire to win. That's a demonic depravity of just absolute violence, of hurt, injury.
Exactly.
That's what this is. This is not some guy who's just a loser and wants to win a few fights and get some medals on his wall. This is a demonic possession of a person that just absolutely wants to inflict injury on people. I mean, it's like a wild beast. I mean, you know, when you have a wild beast on your hand, you don't go up and say, oh, nice beast, let me pet you. You have to deal with it very harshly. And today, we're not dealing with it harshly. No bail, no bond. You can't be stupid enough to do stuff that way. It has to be deliberate. They're not stupid. These aren't people. AOC isn't stupid. She knows what she's doing. These people who want to destroy the American economy know what they're doing, and they're bringing it down. And all the while we're doing it, most Americans are silent. You know why? Because after they've stolen from you, infected you, restricted you, starved you, whatever, they're going to entertain you.
Yep.
And we don't realize where entertainment increases, civilization decreases. Entertainment doesn't make people read and learn history. Entertainment doesn't do the things that are necessary to build the foundations of a safe and you know, strong society. Entertainment destroys all that because it puts personal pleasure above everything else. If I don't have my pleasure for the day, then, you know, I got to take my pills because I'm not very happy.
So you don't know how many. you don't know how many people, and I hate to say this, but elderly women that are in like the age 50 and above that I have met in my life who have a bag, a Ziploc bag of pills in their purse. And you say the wrong thing, or they think of the wrong thing, or, you know, they whatever. And, oh, I got to have this pill. And then this pill counteracts this pill. And this pill helps this pill counteract this pill, but it makes this pill better. And this one is for my head. And this one is for my friends that are in my head. And this one is because the doctors tell me I'm overweight, but I don't want to lose the weight, so I'll take this pill so that I don't die taking this. And I'm just sitting there going, and these are, you know, family relatives of mine. And one of them was my aunt. I just remember going, my God, you need all that? Oh, my brain needs it. No, it doesn't.
No.
No. How did people survive for thousands of years?
It's like the obesity epidemic. Let's be honest with people. You know, if you want to be a warrior in these days, even a spiritual warrior, and you're 400 pounds, it ain't happening. You're sick, you're toxic, everything else, and you don't have an eating disorder. I'm telling you, if I put you in a concentration camp, I promise you, you're going to lose weight. I promise you, you will. Now, that, you know, that offends people, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it's a consumption disorder.
It is. It's sin. The Bible called it gluttony. I mean, you might not like that. People might hate me for it and send me kinds of evil emails. But hey, take it up with God. He's the one who said it, not me. But, you know, so it's all these things we have. So, you know, being solution-based, this is what I tell people. You know, you need to get with a group of people. You need to find them. And I'll say this. I have people call me, and I want to address this. Do you know of a group I can join? Yeah, the KKK. Well, I don't want to join that group. You don't know what you're joining when you join a group. You know what the definition of a KKK meeting is? It's 50 FBI agents waiting for an idiot to show up. I mean, sorry.
January 6th.
We've seen that for real, January 6th. The Governor Whitmer and all these other things. You know, you need to network with people right now. Ham radio clubs are great places. And again, when you're doing intel, you know, it's developing an asset. I've done that. You meet a person. The first thing you do is buy them a cup of coffee, because then they feel, you know, well, I own something because you bought them something. So you start developing this asset. Well, you can use these asset developing techniques for just friends. Go to a ham radio club. Be quiet. Just listen. And when the first person drops the shoe and says, you know, things are getting bad, aren't they? What do you mean? Ask the question. What do you mean? Can you explain? And develop that. Develop it. And find out the ones that are that you can confide with. It may be in churches. There are churches out there. You know, our church has an active prepper community in it. We know what's coming.
That's one of those things. Like, there was a church that I helped to not wouldn't say create, but I helped to train in certain tactics and techniques. Their active shooter team,
yes.
Their church protection security team, and you talk about people from all walks of life. Not one of them law enforcement, not one of them military. And then the one guy was a former Ranger and almost in his 60s. He was squared away, spot on. You could pick him out from a crowd. All the other Joe Blows that were there, you know, you would say like, hey, you know, what is it that we all have in common here? And I remember asking this question because I was given a presentation for this day for training. And they all said, we all carry guns. I said, no, you're right. We all chose to carry the sword. There's a difference when you choose to carry the sword. If you are going to be a sword brother, you have to know in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, and you'll find it somewhere in your feet as you're moving, that there's a tenacity there that we share as men. There's a tenacity to be protective of the innocents, but also to want to seek out and hunt down evil. There is an element there that has been robbed from you, America. There is an element of tenacity. There is a vindicta there that has been stolen from you. Within your own self, there should be a rage, a firing rage against evil. You should rage against the dawning of the light. We want to keep that light shining for as long as possible. And occasionally, men, that means you got to pick up the sword. That means you got to drop the beer belly. That means that you got to drop the ho-hos and the pizzas. That means you got to drop the video game. Start training. You know what, Bob? One of the best places I think people could go for a group, go join a BJJ class. Yeah. If they're not in there preparing, if you go into a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu class and you tell me no one in here is a prepper, every one of you a damn liar, you're preparing to save your life.
Absolutely. You know, God bless my wife. You know, she runs her own dojo. I got her into martial arts many years ago, and it's like she first time she walked in a dojo, she goes, "This is guy stuff." Well, now she's a fourth dan black belt, and she runs her own martial arts school.
Yeah, I mean,
we had the Chesty Puller Marine over one night, a good friend of mine, okay, Bob, and he is the squared away, square jawed Marine guy, okay, big powerful guy, all right. He goes, "Well, show me what you can do." See. He didn't expect my pretty little wife to be able to do anything. She had him that close to flipping him on his back because he didn't expect it.
Yep.
He took it for granted. And, I mean, she had him just at that point where she flipped a little bit more, he'd have gone over her back and landed on his back. And he was like, "Whoa." You know, see, that's her rape whistle. "I'll kick your butt," you know. She's more and she's easy on the eyes. My wife's beautiful. But at the same time, she can definitely take care of business. And this is what it required. This is why biceps are sexist today. Have you heard him say that? Biceps are sexist. I actually heard a feminist say that. That if you have decent sized biceps, you know, you have not little, you know, cotton ball arms. That's sexism. It's like,
well, okay. I must be excelling. I'm just now getting under 22 inches on my arm, so I want to go work out. Damn it! You know, this is what's crazy though, is that people in their mind they say, "Oh, well, I'm a woman, I can't do X, Y, or Z." Look at the women that are in like the judo silver, the bronze, silver, and gold medalists. Look at the women who do Muay Thai. Look at the women who are boxers. The women who are, you know, professional grade CrossFit style athletes, or the, you know, probably the best example, the women in MMA.
Yeah.
It is not that you can't do it. It's that you choose not to do it. It's that you choose your nails are too pretty. Well, I'm too pretty. Well, I'm this. Well, I'm that. Well, you're going to get beaten up really bad one day and drug across a parking lot, thrown to a van and never seen again if you continue to keep your mindset. I can show you report after report that I have read, I have reviewed, and I have called to find out more on of abductions happening to women. Today in America, Bob, today in America, women are being kidnapped at Walmart. They're kidnapped at the bus stop, to include children. And the power isn't even out yet.
Yeah.
Chaos hasn't even happened yet.
But let's address this. Because we would talk women's self-defense when I used to do martial arts as well. We would teach the women's self-defense. The first thing we would teach them is, if there's an abduction happening, that's what's called. If I'm at Walmart and you want to abduct a woman and I grab her and try to drag her in my car, there's the primary crime scene right there. I've just committed a crime. Now, that's the primary crime scene. He wants to take you to the secondary crime scene. That's his little funhouse. Do you think you will ever leave his funhouse? No, you're not. You're going to end up maybe in pieces. You will. Maybe, you know, because in Florida at that time, you ended up in an orange grove somewhere. But we would teach women, it doesn't matter if you're shot at the Walmart parking lot, you have a better chance of survival not to get into that car than if you get into it. Even if he shoots you there, because most of the times if you shot with a handgun, you're not going to die. And people will hear the noise of somebody will come and help you out, and it's going to be painful and all that. But you're not going to be buried in some orange grove somewhere. So
fighters are the hardest to kill.
Yes. So you everything you can. One of the things of abduction mitigation, which I teach children, is, if you find yourself in that situation where you've been abducting to the back of a car, you know, piss your pants, excuse me, spit, because everywhere I go, I'm going to leave DNA behind. I'm going to leave my DNA behind every step of that way. And that way, if anything ever happens, my DNA is in that car. My DNA is on that towel. My DNA is on my pants. You know, that's a free tip. Anyhow, if teach your children this, teach them, because I can tell you, crimes are solved that way. It's just a quick kidnap prevention. You know.
Yeah, the other thing of course, with my background, I stick mainly with the gung fu, I guess you could say. Yeah. I'm a very big proponent of using guns. For me, I work out a lot. I did bodybuilding. I did powerlifting. I did strongman competitions. I did all that cool stuff because in my mind, the element of power is something that I can always use and rely upon when my my talking doesn't work anymore. My verbal judo is not working. If my gun jams or if I'm ambushed and I don't have the ability to grab it, I have my power. But there's another thing in there. It's speed. But you can have speed. You can have power. You can have guns. But if you don't have the will to use it, and you've not practiced how to use it, it's not going to work out for you very well. It's like saying, I'm going to buy this horse. I'm going to buy the bridle. I'm going to get the saddle for it. I'm going to get it all cinched up. And I'm just going to ride it and see how it goes. And you have no idea. You just bought a bucking bronc Mustang. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen those people. I've been a victim of that.
I have.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things like you can be prepared, but prepare to be prepared by training.
You know, Doug,
train.
When I used to do martial arts, you get punched in the face or if something hurt, you don't stop.
No.
You lick that wound after the fight, you know, you fight through the pain.
Yeah, When I was used to force instructor, one of the things that we would always tell our students, keep going through the scenario. We would put them in a scenario where they have to, you know, they have to use their brain, they have to use their speech, they have to use their senses, they have to be able to do reconnoitering or recon, and then eventually they have to use different elements of force from soft technique, hard technique, non-lethal to lethal, and we would just tell them, keep working through the scenario until it's finally done. We're not going to tell you when it's done because in real life, it's not like – and here's the problem with UFC. People will go and, you know, I'll choke someone out and he'll tap and then, okay, we stand up and I'm done. That guy can then stand up, pull his knife and gut you.
Yeah.
That's – the real world does not work like MMA does. The real world is not like a video game. You have to have a – I guess you could say an expansive amount of training upon all venues. You know, you can be expert in a couple of fields, and I want you to talk about your expertise real quick with radio communication because that is a key.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, if you don't have communication, you'll have nothing. I tell people two things. People don't do the radio because it has an intellectual challenge to it. There's things you have to learn. But we're hosting a radio class with a former Army Ranger in a few weeks here.
And I'm going to try and be there for that. I am going to try and be there.
You will love it. You'll love it. But it gives you abilities to do things. I mean, I can show you how to write code. Nobody can break. It's unbreakable. Wouldn't you like to know your communications are absolutely secure? You know, one of the things you do when you're overseas, I'm not going to give you my room number. I'm not going to give you the time and date. I would have a cheat, and my wife would have it, 2 hours this day, plus 2 hours the next day, minus add 2 days, subtract 2 days, you know. So if I told her, you know, I was in room 123, she would say, well, add, you know, 386 to it. And that would give her my room number, my real room number. You know, I never give information away. The biggest thing people do and when they talk on the radio is they give away the most critical element of intelligence they have, and that is their voice. I don't know if we can't see this, but I have my cell phone, and I have a text-to-speech program on it, and
the purpose of intelligence.
Whoop, let me do this again. Stand by. So I will just
the purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation.
I don't want to say my voice. I just didn't give my voice away.
Why would you not want to give away your voice? What technology is there for that?
Oh, any agency in the world can take seconds to tell. Oh, that's Griswold. There's his voice. I don't give it away to people. They don't even know if I'm a male or female. It's what I ask people. This is why radio, the key to radio is to listen. It's not to talk. I don't use radios to talk. Now, I do eventually talk on them. But let me just say, you hear me talking to you, okay? And I said, Doug, I got to get home. My old lady's really pissed off at me, and I got to get back in the house. Or I said, Doug, I want to get home. You know, I kind of miss my wife. She's my sweetheart and, you know, do that. Both of them tell me you're married, right?
Right.
One of them tells me he's waiting for a Mack truck to run his wife over. The other one tells me that woman means something to him. I can exploit that. That's why talking on the radio is dangerous. You want to make sure you have your stuff squared together when you start giving out intel. My children, Oh my gosh, you're just my little girls. Don't say those kind of things, especially after a collapse. I'm listening to that. I'm writing every bit of it down. Believe me, I know how to gather intelligence. And nothing is unimportant. Everything is important when you're gathering intelligence. And believe me, there are people out there, you start talking, they're going to break you down. They're going to know everything you have. And you don't want that. I would rather have Doug give me his intelligence, his who, what, when, where, why, his family, all that, than me give it to you. So right. Listening is critical. And then developing techniques where you can talk and not give away information. But the other person on the other side knows exactly what you're doing. I mean, I have ways I can show you how to do approach codes. You sound like Doug, but how do I know it's really Doug? I can use a computer generator to synthesize your voice now. But if I say, Charlie 3, 4, Mike 5, authenticate. The last thing you want to hear is, what? You'll have the code so you can authenticate that back to me. That way I know it's you. You know, I have a very good chance I know it's you because you've just authenticated something that nobody's going to have an idea how to authenticate unless they have what you would have as far as a code's concerned.
Hey, Bob, we got about 1 minute left. This has been amazing. We need to do this much, much more often, my friend.
I enjoy it.
Hey, let everyone know where they can find your information and, the latest thing that you're up to real quick.
Okay. My phone number is 800-627-3809. Again, 800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources, all one word, standard spelling, readymaderesources.com is my website. We've been doing this since 1995. What I do with people is I help them develop their own plan. Age, geographic location, political environment, all these things determine a prepper plan that benefits you. Obviously, if you're young, it's going to be different than if you're old. If you live in Minnesota, it's going to be different than if you live in Florida. One, I'm worried about heat. One, I'm worried about cold. So there's things that you need to incorporate into your plan that's personalized for you. You know, I've got to say this, Doug, you've used it. Thermal and night vision equipment, it's expensive. We do offer financing, but it is absolutely critical that somebody in your group has that. It makes the day because you can't see at night. You can't hide from me, Doug. You cannot hide from me. I can see you hundreds of yards off, either with a thermal unit or a night vision unit, and that's going to put me in a position of, you know, where I have to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You know, I mean, the victory's mine. I have to lose it on purpose. So
this those is true. Are
what I tell people right now to get.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the great Bob Griswold. Give Bob a call. Go to his website. Check out some of the stuff in there. I do implore you to get night vision. I know I don't talk about this too much, but we are getting into some crazy times right now, and eventually this world will collapse. Anything that can help the survival rate for you and your family is needed. It's needed more than the Porsche. It's needed more than the Land Rover. Invest in your security and your preparedness. Bob, thank you very much, my friend, for being on. And we'll be in contact with you hopefully soon to keep doing this because this was fun, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. So, and hopefully people got stuff out of it. So that's what I want.
Oh, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. We're out. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.